السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله العلي الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى. أشهد أنه لا إله إلا هو، له الأسماء الحسنى، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صاحب المقام المعلى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعلى الثلاثة الذين خلفوا حتى إذا ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت وضاقت عليهم أنفسهم وظنوا ألا ملجأ من الله إلا إليه ثم تاب عليهم ليتوبوا إنه هو التواب الرحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل بني آدم خطاء، وخير الخطائين التوابون، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, in life, there are many actions that are easy to do, yet we find it very difficult to bring ourselves to do it. There are such actions that would literally take us a few seconds to complete, that require very little energy or very little effort, yet for us to carry out these actions, we find it heavier than moving a mountain. Apologizing is foremost among such actions, which are easy to do, which require very little effort, yet we find it very difficult to bring ourselves to do it. My message in short to you this evening is: say sorry. Apologizing is powerful. We have a very negative perception and a very negative understanding as to what an apology is and what it entails and what it means. But in reality, if we grow our understanding of the concept, we will realize that apologizing is a very positive thing. It's a very powerful thing. I want to unpack the topic by answering a few questions. The first question is, why are we reluctant to apologize? I've already explained, it's a simple action. A few movements of the lips and tongue literally would take you a few seconds, yet we're very extremely reluctant to apologize. Why? The first amongst a few reasons is that the human ego finds it very difficult to apologize, because apologizing means you are saying that you are wrong. And for a human to admit that he or she was wrong is very difficult. The ego does not tolerate that. However, we need to caution ourselves and we need to remind ourselves that if you cannot bring your ego under control, then Allah forbid, you can self-destruct. If you look at the story of Iblis in brief, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has said, you won't find the equivalent of a handspan, not even this much of space in the heavens. As vast as the heavens is, not even this much of space, except that Iblis prostrated, he made sajda. Allama Shabir Rahman Uthmani rahimahullah has written in his magnum opus, in his famous tafsir, Tafsir Uthmani, that when the angels came to earth to banish the rebellious jinn to the jungles and to the islands, when they saw the worship of Iblis, they were so impressed that they made a request to Allah that let us bring him to the heavens so that his ibadah and worship can inspire us to exert ourselves even further in your worship. That very Iblis, we know the story, it was his pride, it was his ego, it was his superiority complex that resulted in him not only refusing to prostrate when Allah had issued a direct command, a clear-cut command, an unambiguous command. Not only did he refuse to comply, he then tried to justify his actions by saying, "Ana khayrum min," I'm better than him. And then he took it one step further than that, where he blamed Allah, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, Allah, you led me astray. So that is what happens to a person when your ego takes control of you. Each one of us has got to contend with a nafs, with an ego. That's part of the test of life. Allah says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. The difference between a man and an angel is, the man has been granted the dual capacity, the inclination to good and the inclination to evil. The one who can manage the inclination to evil, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, that is a successful person. So the first reason why we are reluctant to apologize is because the ego does not want to admit that what we did was wrong. The second is that we tend to think that apologizing is a sign of weakness. But in reality, it's a sign of strength. Emotional strength and spiritual strength. It's a sign of strength in character. And good character, strong character is something which is encouraged. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Mu'adh ibn Jabal, as he was giving him parting advice, أَحْسَنْ خُلُقَكَ لِلنَّاسِ مُعَاذ ibn Jabal. Strengthen your character, beautify your character for people. So it is part of strength in character and spirituality that you are able to say, I am sorry when you did something you were not supposed to do. Or when you were wrong. So it's not a sign of weakness. Many times we tend to think, well, if I apologize, I will be seen as being weak, as being cowardly. Rather, as they say in English, it takes a strong man to say sorry. It's not referring to physical strength, it's referring to spiritual strength. The third reason why perhaps we are reluctant to apologize is we feel that, you know, it's embarrassing to tell someone. And indeed it is. Indeed it is. To apologize, it's an embarrassing thing. But we need to remind ourselves that rather I face the embarrassment than losing the relationship. Many marriages have broken simply because one spouse did not want to apologize, did not want to acknowledge. Many a friendship has been broken because there wasn't a willingness to take responsibility for the wrong that was done. So what do you value more? Freedom from embarrassment or losing a relation? And then also, as Muslims, we need to look at the bigger picture. Rather, I embarrass myself by apologizing than be embarrassed in front of humanity on the day of Qiyamah by being held to account for the wrong that I did. So embarrassment also, whilst it's a factor, it's not an excuse. And lastly, I mean, there are many reasons as to why a person could be reluctant to apologize, but one I want to mention before we move on is that the nafs generates excuses. Even though you were wrong, yeah, no, but he provoked me. If he didn't say that, I wouldn't have responded in this way. If she didn't do that, I wouldn't have reacted in this way. Another person's wrong is their wrong. They will have to answer and they will have to account. Your actions are your actions. You will be held liable for your actions. So if we need to apologize, then we need to rise beyond the excuses and the aggravating circumstances and the mitigating factors where we try and say, okay, I was wrong, but, and we try and soothe the ego in that way. So those are some of the reasons why we may be reluctant to apologize. But again, I'm reminding you, and I've encapsulated the crux of what I want to tell you in these words. Say sorry. Apologizing is powerful. It's really powerful. Now, the next question, and I said I'm going to unpack the topic via a series of questions. The next question is, why does the need to apologize arise? When do we need to apologize? Simply put, the scholars have written, when you have transgressed someone's rights or you have not fulfilled someone's rights. When you did something you were not supposed to do or you didn't do something that you were supposed to do. Then you have to apologize. If you hurt someone, if you offended someone. Actually, you don't only apologize when you did something wrong, you also need to apologize when you did something which was inappropriate. Sometimes we may say the right thing, but we don't say it in the right way. Or we don't say it at the right time. We may do the right thing, but we don't do it in the right way. So even if it was not technically wrong, but it was inappropriate, we should find it within ourselves to apologize for the inappropriate manner in which we handle something. You know, sometimes someone can be wrong in life, but how you address that wrong can result in you being guilty of a greater wrong. And that person's wrong is not a justification for your wrong. And it's not an excuse for you not having to apologize for not dealing with the matter in the best of ways. This is akhlaq. This is character. And these are the principles which are enshrined in our deen. And because we don't have these principles in our lives, there's all this social and emotional imbalance that becomes a quagmire to many other issues that plague the community, that plague families, and that plague relationships. And then it affects you not only emotionally and socially, but ultimately it has an impact on your spiritual well-being as well. These are simple things, but the problem with us today, We're looking for sophisticated answers to the problems of the ummah collectively and our challenges individually. But more often than not, if we really look at it, we have deviated because we have stopped adhering to the basic principles of our faith. And if we can come back to these basics, then most of the problems that arise and most of the challenges that we face would never come to the fore in the first place, because the balance would be there. Anyway, sometimes you need to apologize, even if you are not truly wrong. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, if you walk away from an argument, I'm just giving you the essence of it, if you walk away from an argument and you were in the wrong, you were wrong, but you walked away from the argument, Allah will give you a house on the outskirts of Jannah. And if you walk away from an argument, even though you were right, you know it, 100% in your heart, I am right here, but you know what? It's not worth it. I'm not going to argue, especially if it's my wife. Like the one man said, Mawlana, I just said a few sentences to her. She replied in a couple of good paragraphs. So if you walk away from an argument and you are right, Allah says, I give you a house in the Beverly Hills of Jannah, in the prime land of Jannah. It's worth it. It's worth it. Crush that ego and walk away. More often than not, it's better off for you and for others and for the general well-being for you to walk away from an argument, even if you are right. To continuously argue, it disturbs your own sense of emotional well-being, because now you're frustrated, you're agitated, you're angry, you're worked up. At night you can't sleep because you're thinking about what happened, you're reading salah, but your mind is somewhere else. But if you walk away, lillah, for the pleasure of Allah, thinking about that prime spot in Jannah, a beach house on the riverbanks, where the water just flows, and we know what it is, the descriptions of Jannah. It's so healthy for yourself, and it's so healthy for the society and community. So say sorry. Apologizing is powerful. The next question, why do we need to apologize? What are the benefits? Because, you know, human psyche is such that anything we do, we want to know what's in it for me. I don't know how many of you are in business, but I'm not. My wife always tells me if I had to do business, I would hit a loss. I'm too soft. Anyway, when you see businessmen, when they're talking, so they say, you got me covered. What does it mean? What is it? What's in it for me? I brought this person to you. I have this. I arranged this deal for you. You got me covered. That's the kind of description they use in my part of the world. So there's this lingo. There's this terminology that what's in it for me. So that's human nature. That's where Allah creates incentives, right? What is in it for you? What's the benefit of apologizing? Firstly, it creates within a person humility. If you don't have humility, then you've created a vacuum which will result in pride and arrogance. I've already given you the example of Iblis. Actually, if you looked at any personality that is condemned in the Quran or in the Sunnah, you would find that they have one common quality, and that is the quality of pride and arrogance. From Iblis to Qarun, to Fir'aun, to Haman, even Abu Jahl. You know, Abu Jahl, when they're about to kill him, he said, cut my neck closer to the chest. So when all the heads are piled up, mine must stand taller. People must say, that is the head of Abu Jahl, the leader of the Quraysh. He's about to die, but the pride and arrogance is still there. Fir'aun, the punishment is staring him in the face. It forces him to bring Iman. But even at that moment, he says, آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلِ He cannot, his arrogance cannot bring him to take the name of Allah. He says, I bring Iman in that being upon whom the Banu Israel have brought Iman. That's what pride and arrogance does to a person. So apologizing is an antidote. It creates humility, because when you have to stand up and say, I was wrong, then it humbles you, it breaks the ego, and it reminds you, the hadith which I quoted in my introduction, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ, that every son of Adam will falter, will slip, will err, will transgress, will overstep. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ But the one who can stand up and say sorry to others will be more likely to say sorry before Allah and seek forgiveness and be forgiven by Allah. The second thing is, it makes you more cautious. If you traverse the journey of life without apologizing for the wrongs that you did. And there's no human who can live a life without making mistakes, without making errors, without hurting, offending people, without trampling on the toes of others. So if you traverse the journey of life believing that you are God's gift to humanity and that you can do nothing wrong and that the world revolves around you, then you will become very reckless. Whereas if you have to apologize every time you do wrong, it will become cautious. Look, apologizing is not easy. I'm not here to tell you it's an easy thing to do. That's why I said it's easy physically, but emotionally and psychologically, it's a very difficult thing to do. So every time you have to apologize, it'll make you more cautious. So the next time you'll be careful what you do, so you don't have to apologize for what you do or for what you say. I mean, if you're a person who's a bit loose with words, if you don't apologize whenever you said something wrong, then you will continue to just speak how you want. But every time you have to apologize, you're going to bear that pain. And that pain will remind you, it will caution you, it will keep you in check. The third thing, and this is very important, ask those scholars and those people who are involved in mediating disputes. When you apologize, it melts all the tension and the hatred that the victim had towards you. There are cases where people went right to the courts and the judge would pronounce and say, this one was right and that one was wrong. And after the entire costly affair, the victim would say, all I wanted was an apology. All I wanted was for the perpetrator to say, I was wrong. I know what I did was wrong. When you apologize to people, then it melts the tension, it allows the hatred to evaporate, and it disarms the person of their anger. You see, anger is not a healthy thing. Now, when you have done wrong to someone, that person becomes angry. And when a person is angry, they are likely to conduct themselves in a way that creates more problems. So your apology disarms them of that anger. It makes them calm down. It also secures you a lot of respect. As much as we may think it's embarrassing to apologize, but those people who are too haughty, too proud, and too arrogant to say that they were wrong and to apologize, behind their backs, people have no respect for them. Perhaps on their face, because no one wants to be a victim of their hard-hearted or harsh nature, but true respect is enjoyed by that person who can stand up and put up his hand and say, you know what I did was wrong. I am sorry. No excuses. It's a powerful thing. It's a genuine quality. It is part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No matter who you are, how knowledgeable you may be, how senior you may be, how experienced you may be, young, old, white, black, male, female, we need to learn how to apologize. And there's a flip side to this very coin, as MC had mentioned, or the program director, that one is the need for you to apologize, but the other is the need for you to accept an apology. You know, this phrase that we sometimes use is a very dangerous one. I will never forgive. Imagine if Allah had to apply that principle with us. Who are you? Who are you? If the Nabi of Allah could forgive those people who tormented him for 13 years, because of whom Sahaba were murdered, babies would cry in the valley of Abu Talib from the pangs of hunger, the man who chewed on the liver of his uncle, the woman who ordered that man to do, if the Nabi of Allah could forgive the son of Abu Jahl, then who are we that we feel we cannot forgive? And sometimes we get fancy, some people say, no, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. I'll forgive, but I won't forget. No, it's not discretionary. Sometimes when you try and reason with the person, that okay, now the man is asking for maaf, forgive him. Don't force me. It's not a human that's forcing you. It's an instruction of Allah. Khudil afwa. Khudil afwa. Be steadfast in forgiving people. Make forgiveness part of your makeup, part of who you are. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Jibreel alayhi salam, what is the meaning of this? He said, Silman qata'ak. Join ties with those who are breaking ties. وَعْفُ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ. Forgive those who are doing wrong things to you. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. Be good to those who are bad to you. This instruction was firstly to the Nabi of Allah, the greatest of Allah's creation, and then to all of us. So it's not at our discretion. Allah is saying, forgive. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the best Muslim after the Anbiya. There is a Sahabi who gets financial assistance from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Yet he then got involved in the slander against Aisha radiallahu anha. In a state of emotion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, no more will I assist him financially. Allah says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Forgive, overlook. Don't you want Allah also to consistently forgive you? You know, because sometimes we say, how many times must I forgive? As many times as you would want Allah to forgive you, that is how often you should forgive others. Forgiveness, apology is powerful, forgiveness is even more powerful. Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, who is most revered in your sight? Allah said, man idha qadara ghafara, that man who has the ability to exact revenge, to take retribution, yet he opts to forgive lillah, for the pleasure of Allah. Not because you want that person to show appreciation or to reciprocate and return the favor. No, how that person responds to your forgiveness is their business. You forgive for the pleasure of Allah. Because if you claim for what was done wrong to you on the day of Qiyamah, you'll get what's due to you. If you forgive for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will grant you much more than what would have been done due to you. So it's to your advantage. In this world, you release the baggage. It's so tragic. So many people are living lives where they are hunchbacked in an emotional sense by all the baggage that they're carrying. That one said that, that one did that, that one cheated me in this way. And your whole life becomes a misery because you have not forgiven people. Forgiveness liberates you before it liberates the perpetrator. And this is part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we need to forgive others as quickly and as regularly as we would want Allah to forgive us. Forgiveness cannot undo the past, but it can enlarge the future. It cannot undo the past, but it can enlarge the future. Look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he came back from Ta'if. He forgave those people. Today all the residents of Ta'if are Muslim. What happened, happened. That couldn't change. But what was to happen became very positive because of forgiveness. You know, I come from South Africa, and those of you who are au fait and you are aware with the history of South Africa, you would know that Nelson Mandela is saluted across the globe because after 27 years in prison, he came out and he said what? No retribution. We forgive. Let's work towards a common future. Today, in our country, every South African acknowledges the man that had he not forgiven, we would have torn ourselves apart in a civil war. But he came out and he led the way and he said, what's the point? And I mean, these were decades of persecution, 27 years of your life, the prime of your life. Imagine 27 years when you come back out, your children who you left as toddlers have grown up and they have become parents themselves. You missed out on half of your life. Now, if a non-Muslim can do that, we don't need to take much inspiration there. Our inspiration is in the Quran, where Yusuf alayhi salam sitting on the throne of Egypt, and he says to those very brothers who dropped him to the bottom of the well, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. Don't worry, no retribution, no blame. مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. Shaitan came a little bit between me and my brothers. Blame Shaitan. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Look at his sincerity. I will make dua that Allah forgives you. Look at the example of Yaqub alayhi salam. He is a father. It's his favorite son. His own children took his son from his lap, dropped him for dead in the well. From where he was snatched and he became a slave, he was accused falsely. He spent many years in jail. But when these boys came and they offered an apology, يَا أَبَانَ اسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا خَاطِئِينَ. Dad, we were wrong. Forgive us. Look at his sincerity. Not only did he forgive them, he said, سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي. I will ask Allah to forgive you. So those are the values that are enshrined in the Quran. You see, this is the season of change, brothers. With Rajab, Sha'ban and Ramadan. Many of our external actions, we know we need to change. I was saying the other day, do three things in Sha'ban and you would have adequately prepared for Ramadan. One is give up sin, the other is get your salah in order, and the third thing is make Quran part of your daily routine. When you give up sin, you'll be more receptive to the blessings of Ramadan. When you don't give up sin, you will continue to sin in Ramadan out of habit, even though the devil is shackled and chained. And like the reward for good deeds are multiplied in Ramadan, the sin for evil deeds is also multiplied. So give up sin. That's the greatest thing you can do. The second is get your salah in order. Without salah, there's no deen. And the third is you need spiritual energy. And if you read Quran, make Quran part of your daily routine, it'll help you to build that momentum for the great month of Ramadan. But those are, the external actions. The internal qualities also need introspection in this season of change. That how ready am I to apologize? And when people apologize to me, how ready am I to forgive? Because we need to crush that ego. I read a quote which so beautifully surmises what I'm saying to you this evening. If you don't remember anything else and you remember this, it would be worthwhile you sitting here. They say, the first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. And the first to forget is the happiest. You want a recipe for happiness? You don't have to pay hundreds of dollars to buy Robin Sharma's book or any other one of these self-styled life coaches. Subscribe to these values. Because this is an English quote, but this is exactly what the Quran and Sunnah is telling us. The first to apologize is the bravest. You need courage. It's difficult, but you need that courage. The first to forgive is the strongest. It's a sign of, spiritual strength. And the first to forget is the happiest. Let the past be the past. Let bygones be bygones. Move on with your life. Say sorry. Apologizing is powerful. Now, the apology, the next question is, what is a sincere apology? Because, you get different types of apologies. One is you apologize to your boss because you want a bonus, but in your heart you're swearing him. The other is you come home at night and then you see the wife is giving you the cold shoulder. And you say, darling, what's wrong? Nothing. So you say, okay, I'm sorry. You don't know what you're apologizing for. There's no sincerity, but you want supper. I'm not saying don't apologize in that context. Apologize, but that's an apology to seek a benefit. The general principle is your apology must be sincere, not because you want to seek some benefit. So what does a sincere apology entail? Firstly, you need to admit to yourself that you are wrong. You have to have an internal discussion with your own ego. Because if you cannot admit to yourself that you are wrong, your apology will be superficial and you are likely to do the same thing again. Actually, many people, they'll apologize now because it's expedient, and then later on they come up with a whole different narrative. It's like they never apologized in the first place because they never spoke to themselves and admitted to themselves that, hey, I was wrong here. That's the first thing. The second thing is you hastened in apologizing before things spiral out of control. And it must be genuine, not one of those apologies where, they say, the person said, I'm sorry, but it was your mistake. I'm sorry, but it was your mistake. The apology of the politicians or public figures, whenever they get caught out, where they say something and now there's a backlash and everyone is tweeting and everyone is writing against them, they say, well, if I have offended you, then I apologize. It's like a qualified apology. No, it needs to be a sincere one. You need to not only verbally apologize, but you need to show genuine remorse and regret. The person to whom you're apologizing, they need to see that this person is genuinely remorseful. You need to show empathy. You need to make that person understand that, you are right to be angry with me. You are right to be upset. Many times the mistake we made, I was reading this article as I was preparing for this talk, and I came across something very interesting. They said that this man was talking. He said his wife was waiting for him for dinner at a particular restaurant. And then he was supposed to meet her there after work. And just as he was about to leave the office, some client came in. It was an important thing. So he got a bit delayed. So when he got there, his wife was angry. So he said, I'm sorry, but the client came and this and that. And she got more angry. So the next day, his friend told him something remarkable. He said, when you apologize, you must not focus on your intention, but you must focus on the consequences of your action on that person. Your wife is not worried about what happened in your office, why you're late. that you never intended to be late, but she is frustrated because your coming late had an effect on her. So focus on that. That, you know what? I know by coming late, I've inconvenienced you and therefore you are angry. By saying what I said, even though your intention was not bad, many times we do certain things which are wrong, but our intentions were not malicious. But that's not that person's concern. Your intentions, your actions, irrespective of their intentions, have a consequence. They had an effect. And that is what you need to address. So you show genuine empathy that what I said would have definitely offended you and you have a right to be angry. What I did was wrong and I know it made you feel like this or it created this situation for you and I apologize for that. So you must be genuine in every sense, in the words that you choose and also in your body language. Not that, okay, I'm sorry, but you're looking somewhere else. Look at that person, make eye contact with that person, show that person genuine regret and remorse. Because apologizing is a magical, healthy and restorative gesture. When I was in Australia, there was a big thing in the news that, you know, the government had apologized to the indigenous people. They were, you know, issues of the past, the Aborigines. So I was asking one brother there, so I said, I mean, this thing has been going on for hundreds of years. What's the point of apologizing now? And he said, this community has realized, the Aborigines, that we're not going to get much now after all of these years, but we want a formal apology. It must be noted that what was done to us was wrong. That was the restorative thing that they were looking at. This, I said early on, a lot of anger, bitterness, hatred, resentment, it evaporates when you say those magical words. So say sorry. Apologizing is powerful. I don't want to take too much more of your time. It's late in the evening. I want to just make reference to this incident which is part of the verse that I read right at the beginning, and then we'll conclude. On the occasion of the expedition of Tabuk, and Allah talks about Tabuk at length in Surah Tawbah, this was a very difficult moment for the Sahaba, because firstly, the call was that you needed to stand up against the superpower of the time, number one. Number two, it was in the mid of the Arabian summer. The desert was blazing in its heat. Thirdly, it was time when they were harvesting. Now, those who are involved in agriculture would know farming is such, you work the whole year, but there's a very short window period wherein you can make your profits, wherein you harvest. So it was really a challenge when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam issued the call for this expedition. Because one was who you are going to face. The second is the desert and the lack of resources. And Sahaba had to walk barefoot. Some of them didn't have conveyances. They didn't even have shoes. And then at the same time, you've got to leave your business. And it's not like you're leaving your business for a while and you can make up for it the next month. You'll have to wait a whole year, a 12-month cycle, to be able to get the opportunity again. So the majority of Sahaba responded. Many of the hypocrites, they stayed back. And then there were some genuine companions, some genuine Sahaba. They were misguided a little, where they thought, okay, the devil perhaps created this rationale that, no, we'll just do the harvest quickly and then we'll use the money to get some resources. We'll take a short route and we'll join the expedition. So we don't lose the profit and we will be part of the expedition. But such is the nature of dunya. It so grips you. By the time they got done with business, that the Sahaba were already returning. Now when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to Medina, the hypocrites go and they offer their fabricated stories. And the Nabi of Allah knows they're lying, but he accepts it for the sake of harmony in the community. But these Sahaba, a handful of them, Ka'b bin Malik in particular, who narrates the hadith, it's a lengthy hadith, I'm just giving you the story in short, in brief. And we know the story, it's about the lesson behind it. They came and they said, Ya Rasulullah, no excuse. No excuse, we were wrong. Now here is an important point. It doesn't mean when you apologize, there won't be any consequences for you to face. Because that would be a sign of insincerity, that you're only apologizing because you want to escape consequences. They faced severe consequences. They were boycotted for a lengthy period of time. Now these were Sahaba whose hearts were brimming with faith. Imagine you come to the masjid and you greet the Nabi of Allah and he doesn't respond to your greeting because you are boycotted. Imagine your own wife doesn't talk to you, your own cousin doesn't speak to you. They're totally shunned in your own community. Ka'b radiallahu anhu says, the leader of the enemy wrote me a letter trying to turn me into a spy. Let's see your own community, what they're doing to you, why don't you join us? He said, for me, that was the greatest insult. That they now considered me so vulnerable that they could even approach me. And the verse says, حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ that despite the fact that the earth was vast, it became narrow for them, constrained, living a very challenging life now, not knowing what is going to happen next. Your own friends, your own family, your own Nabi, they're not talking to you, they're not responding to your greeting, nothing. But they were sincere in their apology. They did not fabricate stories and create excuses and manufacture a narrative that would have saved the day. And Allah says, ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. That sincerity in the apology ultimately led to them being forgiven. And up to the day of Qiyamah and beyond, they are acknowledged in this verse of the Quran. So there will be consequences at times. It will be painful when you would have to apologize, but it always pays off in the long term. Let me conclude and leave you with these few sentiments. An apology cannot undo a past action, but if done sincerely, it can undo the effects of that action. You cannot undo what you did with an apology, but you can undo the effects and the consequences of what you did by apologizing. Apologizing benefits the giver and the receiver. These simple words, "I am sorry," it can wipe out years of pain and bitterness. Say sorry. Apologizing is powerful. May Allah grant me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.